Hey-o.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Well, look at this. We're doing it.
Nice.
How you been, cuz?
Good. I had a great trip to San Diego. It was a lot of fun.
You back in Denver?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I got back on Monday night. And so sweet. Now it's the weekend again.
I'll see you in Denver on Tuesday.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Why? What's happening?
I'm coming to Denver, kid. I'm going for a trade show. It's been kind of a last minute. It's been a bit of a whirlwind.
No way. Yeah, that's awesome.
For me, work-wise. But yes, yeah. I will be in Denver. Tuesday, Wednesday, I fly out Thursday morning. So
cool. Yeah,
we got to connect. Absolutely. Got to hang
out. Right on. What part of Denver are you going to be in? What part of Denver are you going to be in?
Max died, maybe.
Oh, here we go. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No, I think it's like my phone went to sleep and that caused problems. So I'm going to change my phone settings.
Yes.
That's a quick flip. All right.
Yeah. What's up, Buck?
Not much.
Yeah. Friday night.
Week two, new job. It's
crazy. Just got the new job?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's going really well, actually.
That's good. What's your new is it a totally new type of job, or is it the same job just with a different company?
It's pretty similar, but without the bank stuff. So no deposits, no treasury. It's just trying to put out money to companies.
And, oh yeah, I kind of remember us touching on this.
Yeah, and it's prior. And it's companies that don't have access to the bank markets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And quite frankly, it's a product and a value prop that is differentiated even in the private stuff as well. So it's early. We'll see how it goes, but it's been great. So far.
Cool. Yeah. That sounds like some of the private equity or private business development companies I used to sell when I was at LPL. They lend money to private companies that aren't big enough to go to the big banks.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I would say what I'm doing now is super niche-y.
Okay.
So it's probably not worthy of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Get there. But this is super early, super small. So
Yeah.
I'm employee 7.
So, what? Oh wow. Shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. 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 We'll see how I do with that dynamic. So far so good.
Awesome. Buck, what type of companies do you guys lend to? Like what size approximately?
It's been they've done 5 before I started, and it goes from 5 million in revs to they even got one that's up to 80.
Okay.
All of them are fucking burning money, and all of them just look on it on their face like they're super risky.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot more interesting. In a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
My business is always, working capital is obviously the lifeblood of any rapidly growing business. I have a few lenders that I use, but I'd be curious to know whether there might be a fit, for us, because it sounds like we might be in the.
We should talk about that for sure.
Sweet, man.
It's, I'd be interested to hear about, we talked about your business in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a pretty deep level, and we should do that.
For sure. Cool. Try and connect next week. Man, this is so annoying, dude. My phone keeps going. I can't, because my battery's low. It's like, I'm restricted to auto lock. I am plugged in, but it's like,
I'm
restricted to auto lock after 30 seconds. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, you gotta fucking unrestrict.
Enough about my fucking phone.
Yeah, let's
get into the meat of it.
Why don't we get into this? Right?
So, do you guys want to start with the fantasy league format?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That is
a big deal.
You're talking
about the third wide receiver.
Yep. And no kicker. So, thank God. How long have I been barking up that tree?
Yeah, nobody likes kickers, right?
Yeah, but no, do you know how much resistance I got from that the first time I brought it up? Like 3 years ago, they were like, oh no, like kickers are awesome, man. They're like part of fantasy football.
People like the random rush of a win.
That's right.
People just don't like change. That's what it is. They don't want change. People are so resistant to change, even if it makes sense.
Oh, you're really so gonna get that. You're really gonna get that deep with it.
All right. Oh yes, I think that's very applicable to this situation. I mean, there was no other reason to keep kickers for this long.
No, I mean, I gave you the argument why people would want to. It's the random rush of getting a win.
I don't think they care about that. I don't think they care about that at all. I think they just didn't want to change. That's my opinion.
I disagree, Hoff. I agree with Buck. Right. I think for some
really?
People,
you
oh yeah, dude.
People,
I think
like,
think about it this.
About
I think,
their
I think
kicker
the lower
winning
skill
them
players,
a game.
No, it's like this, Hoff. The lower skill players in the league want more randomness, right?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Why? You think I mean, they thought sense. About that when right? they came to kickers? I disagree. I mean, you're well, right, I mean, but I'm just saying that's not what they cared about.
I think you're wrong.
We're off to a good start.
If you are a lower
two people on one side, one person on the other regarding league mentality. So
I mean maybe lower skilled is the wrong, you know, terminology, and we'll get into that, right? But
sure.
Maybe it's just if you're not as into it as others and people are talking a bunch of shit and you're just there to hang out and all that, and you get a random win through kicker, you're gonna like that.
You get an endorphin
love
rush.
Yeah. It's just because it's cool.
It's like a dopamine fun. Effect.
Yeah.
you just hit blackjack.
I don't think, I just don't, yeah, that's, that. Maybe you're right, but in my opinion, they didn't notice or they barely paid attention to them winning or losing games on the kicker scoring.
Oh,
I just think
false.
I just think
every once in a while there's a team that gets a kicker that dominates.
That
right?
is
like,
boss.
They have Justin Tucker, so then they're like, oh, fuck yeah, I want kickers, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at kickers.
Like, I'm going to be so happy when we start the auction and Jamie doesn't fucking nominate a kicker this time. It's going to make the draft like at least 25% more enjoyable.
That's
a good point. I forgot about that.
And then other people will do it too because they're like, well, yeah, that's fucking cool, dude. You know. So good move. Good move eliminating kickers.
All right. So here's my question though. What's the biggest impact of the third wide receiver as a starter, both in the draft and in the season?
You want to go first, Hoff?
You can go.
You want to go? Okay.
Yes.
So I think it's not as big of a difference as others might believe, and I'll tell you why. I think it's there's just a lot of receivers that are playable these days.
Yep.
You know, and I think that, I mean, we'll see how, I mean, I'm really curious to see how the draft goes this time because of the shift and because everyone is just so much more into it now, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, and, you know, I'm giving you my take already, which is probably not a good idea, but, you know, whatever.
No, it's fine.
There's just so many receivers that, you know, are playable and stat-wise comparable that, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. The biggest difference is the budget size.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And how is that going to affect the overall, you know, hunger for certain players and the dollar amounts? You know, that's the difference that I think will happen.
Or
if you're going to look at it rationally, should.
And that's really the kind of the reason for it is it's kind of why we were talking about it was because, you know, with the third wide receiver starting position – that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
And like that definitely has an effect on the auction values across the board.
Yeah.
And it should at least. Like we'll see what happens.
But I know.
When I plug it into like price calculators online and put the extra third wide receiver in there, it makes a big, you know, it's a shift. There's, you know, you look at these top running backs are not going for like 75 anymore. And or they're priced, you know, very, it's priced lower. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. I feel like some people are going to take that into consideration. And other people like James are just going to completely ignore it and just fucking, they're still going to pay $80 for Zeke, you know, Zeke, you know, in this draft.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know that James will run the same strategy twice. I think
he I was actually trying to make fun of James in that sentence. So I hope that came across.
Yeah. Like, you know, I actually talked to James a bit about that. You know, because, you know, as you guys know, I've done that quite a bit as well.
Good. You started that trend, to be honest. You were the you were the OG big spender. I remember that year you bought the top three. It was like Eddie Lacy, there were two others. Like you just bought all of them,
and it was actually a dope strategy. Yeah, it was Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, and like one of the top.
Yeah, I can't remember who else. I can't remember the other guy. But you know.
And we talked about that in our last podcast, which we can't air because it's like 15 hours long. But it's like we mentioned that as part of our like 30-minute discussion about fantasy football. And I was talking about that exact draft, Max, where Buck went out, fucking spent like $160 on like three dope running backs and dominated the season. You know, it was he didn't win, but I'm saying he was like had one of the best teams, and everyone kind of like has caught up to that. And now it's gotten more extreme. So it's like we've gone over that.
Yeah.
Over
like,
the edge.
Like, you know, if you were to look at that, and then this is the point of fantasy football. You know, anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that, I should have won easy. That
That's what I was getting at.
But what I ended up, what ended up happening was that I lost to Mern's auto draft team. Fun, right? So, yeah, and that's like, but that's like, that's why this thing is so cool. That's why it's so fun, right?
there's a lot of luck and randomness involved, of course. And it's just like poker.
If there wasn't, nobody would, you know, nobody would really do it.
Right. Exactly. So, that's a good point. It's like poker, like Max used to say about fantasy football. It's like the skill will improve your odds, but it doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win anything.
Like poker is like I think fantasy football is a lot more random than poker is. Poker it's like it's about, you know, how many hands are you playing? When you get to a certain hands, then the skill
will eventually with the volume win out.
Fantasy football, I don't know.
That's a good point. It's not a perfect comparison for sure.
Yeah. I think fantasy football is extremely random.
It is.
It's so much luck involved, right?
It is.
Anyway, any other thoughts on the new format?
I just wanted to finish my last point again. It pertains back to budget, and it just came up as I was, you know, I always do my budget planning and advanced modeling out. Of course, dude, it's all part of the pivot table process.
I'm kidding.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you know, and looking at because I'm reusing a sheet every year, so I'm like looking back at, you know, budgets from last year. This is not a fucking revolutionary, you know, thing to point out, but it's you always spend a dollar on kicker, right? So just in terms of your starting lineup construction, right? It's like, there was always one position, probably two, defense as well, where it's like, boom, I'm spending a dollar on those two starters. That's always how I looked at it, right? And now, you know, wide receiver three, it's like you actually need a more material budget than a dollar.
And or you can have three dope receivers and plug them in. And, you know, it's just an extra starter that you have to start. So that does change the values. It should change the values. For the other, you know, for the players,
It's a starter that you'd want to be solid.
Good. I mean, you have to start them,
not the kicker randomness shit.
And like you were saying, there's a lot of depth in the wide receiver and quality depth that you know it can support that type of strategy too, which is important for that, so that it would actually affect the pricing of these players.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to look at how many wide receivers could theoretically be starter worthy, even in the three wide receiver set. I mean, you probably get 90 to 100 even, right?
Like the potential, like wide receivers who could potentially be a top 15 wide receiver at the end of the year.
There's a lot.
You know, there's a lot that can pull that off. There's a lot of quality depth at the position.
Yeah.
So why we put it in, right? It's like every year would have like two or three like decent wide receivers that just sat on their bench and like, yeah. could never get any value out of them in a trade.
Like, right.
Never
and then you're looking them. At like, how do I win the league? Well, let's fucking blow my wad on the best running backs and hope they hit. So,
yeah.
And so it's, you know, that's still an option, but now it's kind of a little bit more balanced, I think, in terms of that kind of thing.
And hence the rule change. All right. Yes. So what's the next topic on the agenda?
Oh, yeah. So
it says here, how do you feel about the parity in the league? Maxon had previously texted the concept of tiers. Do we have well-defined tiers?
All right. We're going to find out. We're going to start at the top. I thought a little bit about this. And then I didn't finish the middle. So I'm going to talk about the four. I thought about this. One's very close to making the cut, but I can't quite put them there. So the four top players, in my opinion, are obviously me, Hoff, James, and then I do put you in the – you made the top tier in my book.
I agree. Yeah.
And the person who didn't quite make the cut for me David? Was actually David Lichtenstein. Yeah, very close.
I knew you were going to say
he's
that.
He's at the very top of the next tier down. So that's what – then I'll hand over the mic. So, you know, the next tier down I go. I think there should be three tiers. I mean, we could do whatever we want, but, you know – Four.
Yeah, I kind of like that tier, honestly. Right, when I set my rankings, it was to David. It was very much like as I was working, I sent them. I didn't put that much thought into it.
So, what do you think, Peter? Are you
the next tier? You mean
mindset?
Yeah, I actually do. That's why I do like those top four.
All right.
Especially because my name's right there.
All right. So I disagree.
Actually. Okay. I'm shocked that you disagreed. Yeah. With
no, I mean it's not like, whatever, dude. I really don't think there are tiers anymore.
Oh, okay.
I really don't. Like, I mean, I think the one guy you guys left out of the, you know, of the mix that is actually pretty good, I think, is AK.
I thought you might say that.
And when you get to the point where there's six guys that you think is, you know, at the you know in the same grouping, well, what's the point? Do you really have tiers at that point, right?
But yeah, for me, AK and DL are in the next tier down.
They're not quite there. Max, AK is a consistent performer, and he's been improving like over time for sure.
Yeah,
and he's been in the playoffs quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I do think he's good, and I do think he's undervalued. But I also think that
he's made a tier jump, right?
Yeah,
I consider AK one of the weakest in the league. I do want to give AK a shout out, right? Like he's really fucking turned it
he's
on.
He's gotten way better.
He can easily close the what negligible gap exists and make it into the top tier. But for me, he's not quite there yet.
I think I'm totally agreeing with what Max said that. Him and David are in the next tier together. I don't know who else would you put in the next tier then?
You know, Jammer maybe. I'm not sure. You know?
I think Nick and David are in a different tier than Jammer.
All right, so then that's the next tier.
Because of Jammer's fucking crazy, stupid moves.
Roster construction is interesting.
Yeah, it's occasionally like a complete joke.
I enjoy it.
It's amusing at times.
It's unorthodox.
You know?
He really likes to push the envelope. You know, I remember he was the first guy to drop two top tier tight ends. He's the first team to drop three defenses.
These are things that eliminate you from the second tier. He carried five quarterbacks at one time.
Yeah, I like I like people that do weird shit.
I do too. It gives me a better chance to win.
Well, I think, but I also think that people that do weird shit can actually sometimes evolve things and find an edge. That's hard to find. Good luck with that,
Jamie. Find that edge.
Like three defenses? No, I don't think that's going to be
excusable.
Jamie, keep looking for that edge, baby. Keep searching for it with that unorthodox approach, quote unquote.
No, but I mean, I agree though, right? It's like I don't agree with the three defenses, you know, move, but you gotta take risks, you gotta try different shit.
Yeah, I think so.
Risk like, taking risks so. Is different than completely ridiculous roster construction.
For sure. Okay. Like I was actually talking to Hoff about this, Max. What I was talking about with him about this is that with you and how you do things, you know, you individually actually, it made me, you know, push, you know, in trying to get a little more extreme in a way.
You talking about Max's like pivot tables?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just getting that, you know, data driven. I
agree.
I'm not going to fucking do that. So, you know what? I'm going to actually get extreme in some ways. And, you know, obviously I haven't won anything, so it hasn't worked. Right. But your process
has been good.
But I actually enjoy doing it that way, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because if I was just going to be straight up and do numbers and data, you know, I probably just would be a lesser version, right? So you know what? I'm gonna actually just try to be more of a scout, and you know, the key to what I've done, which again hasn't worked, right? But the key to what I've done isn't the top dollars. It's the bottom, right?
Like your Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. So it's that year. And, you know, dollar.
That
picks,
was an amazing
right?
pick.
You know, it's a really low dollar guys. That's the key to that working. It hasn't worked.
Yeah. When you hit on that value, it's a massive boost to your team.
You know, like Waller was one of them.
Right. And Stephon Diggs.
You know, I'm forgetting another one. But
DK Metcalf.
I thought
those are great.
He wasn't home run picks. He wasn't exactly cheap, but I did think it was a great. You know,
wasn't he though?
Value.
Wasn't he like under $20?
I think it was right at 20.
Yeah,
maybe. I wonder.
So
I mean,
I
can look it up. If you want. I can tell you exactly how much it is.
That's a great pick. You know, it's,
but this
when
is.
Yeah,
this ties back to like. Just the luck factor in fantasy football, right? Because it's like if Saquon Barkley stays healthy,
right?
And you have, I mean, like,
that looks very different.
Just look at like I'm not trying to I'm not trying to take anything away from our man Britt, right? He fucking won a second championship. He joined me.
Oh,
hello.
Again. The whole thing locked again. Sorry, I was right in the middle of my rant. But here's my point: when you look back at like how Alex won, a big part of it was his draft picks hit and stayed healthy, right? Derrick Henry hit, Travis Kelce hit. I forget, he had a few others, but it's like
Aaron Rodgers.
His roster in the finals is like remarkably similar to like his roster at the right. So it's like,
you know,
I mean, no credit. He made picks that hit. Like that's a strategy,
rare,
right? Like that's a
rare.
Thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's how it can go sometimes. Like, but. Almost all of your picks hit, but Saquon didn't, and it's like that's the difference.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I do like that, Dave.
And that's the downside of that strategy, right? Because, well, you know, that's a lot of dough out the door. And you know, the other failure for me was not getting the running back that took a spot. Right. I was just constantly struggling to get someone that was decent to.
You mean Wayne Gallman?
Well, we talked James Robinson, for instance. I have zero excuse to not have picked that guy up. Zero.
Same here. That's what I tell myself every night before I go to bed.
I think David Robinson was the number one most owned player on the
championship
roster.
Yeah.
David Robinson was sick back in the day, but
James Robinson. No, and I talked to Max about it that. When David picked him up, I remember talking to Max about it. I've been like, yeah, like I looked at James Robinson and I thought, no, that's just fool's gold right there. You know, that's not going to, he's going to be part of that committee and I want the passing down back.
Yeah.
And
it was Jags for me, I think, right? I mean, that's
right. Yeah.
Probably
for
what
me,
it
was.
Me.
And I owned
not
the
doing.
Passing down guy.
Yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry is an interesting one too because. Because his style is, he really gets stronger as the season goes on, as guys get banged up and tired, right?
Yeah.
And like, he's so valuable at the end and in the playoffs, especially, right? Because he just gets
better. He just runs train on people.
Yeah. Whereas early in the season, like I had him in another league, and he, you know, like, and I, you know, early on in every season, he's not nearly as good, and then he just gets better and better and better, and that's a key consideration taken into account, right? Yeah. You want guys to be peaking in the playoffs.
I know. Yeah. I was trying to trade for Derrick Henry for that stretch, because he had all those easy matchups at the end of last year, and I was just like drooling over those, like the playoffs and those. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember if he actually blew up the way that, but I remember trying to trade for him. I was offering Alvin Kamara and something else, and Alex told me to go kick rocks. So it didn't work
good.
Out.
Good for him.
I know. It was good for him. I didn't think he would. I just threw it out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is refreshing that someone that just drafted a good team and stuck with it, like won the championship, because a lot of times I think that, like, a lot of times I have the thought in the back of my mind during the season that, like, I need to make moves, I need to make trades, like, I need to do something to, like, catch another edge besides, if, you know, drafting a good team. And it's, you know, it's a good lesson that that can work too.
Yeah, I mean, I will, on the subject of trades, I think everyone knows, like, I love trades, right? Like, I'm always trying to find trades to try and gain an edge. It can definitely backfire on me, but that's, it's just like other areas where I would say I try to push the boundary. Like, that's another one, right? I mean, again, I'm not giving myself credit. I'm just trying, it's like, for whatever reason, I just really like fucking trades, right? And it's like,
well, yeah, if you think about it, trades are a way to, you know, assume risk in order to achieve a higher edge.
Yeah, I mean, I think the example that, you know, it's pretty clear in this league is James.
He's a hustler. He's like a he's like a door to door salesman with that shit.
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I thought
it was awesome.
I respect it, but I also hate it when he fucking texts me these bullshit trades all the time. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, come at me like a, you know. Come at me like we're in a partnership trying to make a deal. Not that you're trying to sell me a fucking used car that's going to break down as soon as I start driving it.
But to be fair, I mean, there have been trades that James has executed, specifically the one with Jammer last season, where everyone was up in arms. Everyone was like, James gave away the farm. Me. Like, I can't believe it. And it's like, turns out.
You mean Jamie did, or?
No, dude, if you remember at the time.
Do you mean Jamie traded away the farm?
No, James made a bad trade last year.
No, wait.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
There was a trade. It was the one where he got rid of Ezekiel Elliott and someone else. But, like, they said there was a trade where
McCaffrey.
No, I can try and find the details. But, like, there was a trade that.
Because I was bitching when he traded McCaffrey. I remember that.
Right. There was a trade where everyone thought, like, James just was, like, dumping, right? Just, like, dumping players. And it was actually, like, in the end, it was an excellent move for him.
Was that the one where he traded for Herbert?
Could have been.
With Jamie, because I remember Jamie had Herbert because I was giving him shit for,
draft. I just remember that Herbert. It involved a ton of players, right?
Yeah.
And those are, like, to me, those are really tough to, you know, like, get your head around, you know.
Yeah.
But boy, you know, they're very interesting, right? And Max is right. Like, the reaction was not correct relative to the result.
There was the same reaction actually from you, Buck, when I traded for Joe Mixon. I traded Antonio Gibson for Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
It was like, I initially thought I had swindled Mern, and then Mixon never played another down. Just put an IR, and like a week later,
Oh, man. Yeah, that was rough.
Boy, how good was Gibson? Jeez.
He was very good down the stretch.
Yeah, that guy is a physical specimen.
What else do we have on the agenda?
All right, so.
Who is the league villain?
No. Like, let's get into, like, let's see. I want to get to this one.
Okay. So,
Who is your favorite fully unleashed league member? And by fully unleashed, I mean when somebody gets angry and starts going off.
Oh, That's a good question.
There's been some good shit over the last year and a half or so.
When people get angry. Yeah.
The banter is definitely really. I mean, our league used to be the most mellow, like kind of chill, but also somewhat boring league.
Boring.
Yep.
And as, I mean, you know, there's James definitely changed the dynamic for the better.
Oh,
you know?
Big change. No doubt. Big change.
Yeah. So he came in talking to him again. The most shit I've ever heard anyone talk. Right.
And you gotta love the video production that James has brought to the table. I mean that's amazing.
He's brought a lot of value.
Lot of value.
More value than anyone else. Really.
Yes. Right. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like entertainment value for the league. And you know, he's a good player, obviously. We ranked him in the top tier. And he's cause he fucking hustles, dude. That guy is a nonstop fucking fantasy manager, and that's he works that game really well, really effectively.
Yeah. Wears you down.
He grinds you down.
He doesn't wear me down, but
just grinds
on the trades. I mean, on the trades.
He's a grinder. That guy.
Yeah. So my favorite fully unleashed, probably AK. I feel like he doesn't get mad that often, but when he's fired up, he's definitely entertaining.
I think
Mern is can be mentioned along this, like, fully unleashed, because he's so sensitive. He'll go, you know, like if you say one wrong comment in a video, you know, Mern will get a little touchy about it. He'll start to throw shards out there, so he's always a fun one.
Mern's gonna take offense to that for sure.
That's fine. See? Very good.
I like the Mern rants because he really, really wants to come across as the nice guy, right?
Right.
Yep. The guy who's above it all. And then, you know, occasionally he'll get into it and, like, it's great.
Yeah. And you know it's real, too.
Yeah. And then there's like side text going on occasionally as well. It's great. I don't like. I asked a question because I didn't know. Like, I didn't really have a good answer to that. Actually,
I'm trying. I was actually struggling to think of people that were like get kind of edgy and like pissed about something.
Yeah, like. Like, I get edgy, but I get edgy a lot. So, I don't know. Like, I might be fully unleashed all the time.
All the time.
So maybe, maybe I'm kicked out of that mix, right? But I will also say this. Like, Max, you're talking about how the league was, like, mundane and boring. You were mundane and boring as well. Now you've even started to, sort of unleash a little
bit.
Mix it up. I like it. I like that too. It's great.
I think you're right. I was in the early days of the league. I was a little too play it nice guy. Sometimes you gotta be a little more honest with how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, I called you out a couple of years ago on that when you had to do the trash talk or whatever. I'm like, you pretend to be nice, but it's really just because you think you're better than everyone else.
Which was true at the time. You know, I've kind of like fallen down a few pegs, having not won anything recently. At that point, I definitely was I was up on my high horse.
And then he ended up winning that week for me, of course, because it was a playoffs.
It reminds me of what we were saying in one of our previous podcasts on the subject of Max and this exact subject, is that I was saying that, like, I know that, you know, Max will not get upset and like start talking shit, but I know, or like, you know, pass it off if he's having a bad season, like, it's fine, you know, it's okay. But like, what I know is in the background in Max's mind,
it's not okay.
Burns at my soul.
Burning with rage.
It's in the dome.
Yeah. So I know that competitive fire is eating at him, but he's trying really hard not to not let people see it.
Yeah. One of the worst things about fantasy football is when your team is bad, right? Like you have injured mm-hmm. players or whatever, you just miss, and your team is bad, and there's nothing you can do about it. Right? Yeah. There's like, you know what I mean? There are times where it's like, I just know when I can get off the waiver wire. I can't just somehow trade garbage and get good players in return, right?
It's like, exactly.
I can't do anything. I just have to sit here and have a shitty team. It's like, there's like no amount of skill or anything I can do. It's just like,
right. Fucked. It sucks. Yeah, it sucks. It's terrible. That's when it's hard to like stay involved, you know, and keep grinding because, and to James's credit, he kept fucking grinding last year, you know, and that's he true. Fucking got it together and like got a decent squad out there. All of a sudden, it was like, how the fuck did he do that? You know, like, so that's why he's in the top tier.
Yeah,
there you go. You know. And then,
what else we got on the agenda?
The other part of the agenda, yeah, was which I feel like has been discussed at length. And I mean, I could just summarize my feeling on it, which is that when James and Jamie are together, decked out in all Colts gear.
Oh, yeah, you want to go there? Okay.
Well, cool. Yeah, let's just jump to the conclusion here and like.
we gotta make sure to get this one part.
Yeah, this is very efficient. You know, basically my feeling is when they're doing fucking shotguns of Coors Light, all decked out in Colts gear and like being like, yeah, fucking go Colts. Yeah, fuck yeah. You know, to put it in terms James would understand, at that point the circus is open. You know, the circus is open and they're the main event. They're the main attraction. You know, as far as James loves calling everybody a clown, those two are fucking clowns when they are sending out those videos. End of story. The children are scared. The adults are laughing. It's not okay. Like, let's move on. There's no reason for that. Like, stop pretending to be such diehard Colts fans like that. It's embarrassing.
I don't know that's pretending. You know, I feel like it's a little presumptuous. For me, you know, I'm just going to lay out this sequence of events, right? Which is essentially diehard Chargers fans, like, for life. Then in 2017, the Chargers moved to LA. And then there's still, like, two more years of fandom. And then, I mean, to Mern's credit, right? Mern was always out from the jump. It was like,
Mern's an absolute gentleman about it.
And Mern was like, nah. You know, they stuck around. I mean, I remember having like conversations and we're all rooting for the Chargers. Again, this is 2 years of LA. And then
James
like,
had a party. Then it's like, then all of a sudden, playoff
like,
game.
Anyone who roots for the Chargers is a complete idiot. And I'm a Colts fan. I'm just saying, like, that's a real extreme position flip flops over a short period of time.
Flip flops is a good word. That's a good word there because it's ridiculous. You know, it's. James had a fucking blowout party for the Chargers Ravens playoff game. You know, it was awesome. And then the very next, you know, I turned my head and now he's yelling at me for being a Chargers fan. It's like, dude, that's out of control. Like, not acceptable.
And I'm just gonna offer up the alternative position represented by all three people on this call, which is simply we were fans of the team. They moved, mm-hmm. we moved, whatever the fuck. We're still fans of that team. Like, that's it. It's like, that's not I don't understand why, like, that's such an outrageous, you know, it's like,
it's not.
What? Like, I'm guilty of being the fan that we were both, like, fan of the team that we were both fans of, and now I'm still a fan of that team. Like, and now I'm the asshole.
And look at Buck and all these great Raider fans, and Mern's like, well, that's Raider Nation. It's like, well, so they have awesome fans. Is that what you're saying? And then they, like, kept being fans of the team, even though they moved. Not once, but twice. Like, they moved from L.A. to fucking Oakland. Now they're in Vegas. And their fandom, like, just keeps growing, you know. And that's, like, everyone says, like, that's a good thing. They admire that.
But wait, here's another thing that I just have to, on the subject of fandom as it pertains to team, mm-hmm. Mern especially loves to point out how there aren't very many Chargers fans, right? Or, like, or like, you know, like I should be embarrassed of this. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't root for a football team for how many fans they have, right? Like, it's absurd. Like, I'm going to like a team more or less based on what other people think of the team. Like, I don't give a shit. I like this team. I'm going to fucking if there are a few fans, I don't give a fuck. I'm doing my thing. If there are a lot of fans, I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to do my thing.
Exactly.
I didn't realize that Mern said that.
Oh, yeah. Mern has consistently, he's always like, you know, it's like highlighting like how few fans and how they're not going to like win in LA, as if like I should be embarrassed of my team because they don't have fans, or like I shouldn't be a fan of them because they don't have fans. Like, I don't quite understand his position, but I disagree with it.
Yeah, I find that interesting because that was always the shit talk that I gave him over the years. Because I'm like, there are no Chargers fans, there are no Padres fans, right? You know, and it's interesting that he adopted that take. I like that. I love
it
that.
It makes it actually,
wow. You confirm that I was right. I love that.
Yeah, it's like, and the whole idea that, the reason they want to feel that way is because they want to feel vindicated that they're, like, in this camp that are, like, San Diego loyal people, and, like, no one likes the Chargers in San Diego, and no one should. And that's, you know, that's just not true. It's just not, it's not true to the extent that they're saying it. Because I can tell you, I drove an Uber all around San Diego, and there were some people that were like, I'm just, you know, rooting for Rivers at this point, whatever. But there were most people said, like, what am I going to do? Like, who am I going to root for? I'm going to keep rooting for the Chargers. Like, it sucks that they left, but I'm still rooting for the Chargers, you know, and that. There are way more people than that in San Diego than Mern and James want to admit. Yeah, because, and there are other, there's a lot of Charger fans that are not close to the stadium to go to the game. Like, if you look at social media and shit like that, and like, there, someone talked about this once, that there, the data suggests that there's still a decent amount of Charger fans out there. It's not that, it's not just like 15 of us, you know, that like are still Charger fans.
If there were 15 of us, I'd be like, fantastic. I'm proud. Like, you know what I mean? Like, great.
It'd be more fun.
Totally. It's like, I mean, it's like, I always respected the fucking Browns fans that'd be like in the stadiums with the fucking bags in their head and shit. It's like, dude, if you're only rooting for a team because they're good and lots of people root for them, like, fuck you, dude. You're a fair little bitch. Yeah. You know, it's like, my team is brutal to root for sometimes. Yeah. It's like, I wear that like a badge of honor. Yeah. Dude. I'm a fucking, I'm a beaten wife with a dope husband.
Wow. All right. Wow. But I think that's part of the fun, actually, in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's your fan, you know, and the whole thing is fucking silly to begin with. Let's be real, right?
Agreed. I mean,
right? But part of the fun is being a fan while the team sucks, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And with the goal of it, you know, you get to enjoy the upswing.
Exactly. Like, right? the pain makes feeling awesome.
It's a big part of it, right? Yeah. And you get, occasionally you meet people that have that same, you know, quote unquote loyalty, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, again, it's kind of silly given what we're talking about, but it's real. It is.
Yeah.
It is real.
You know, and you can't, so, you know, front runners, bandwagons, you know, whatever, right? I mean, you know, I don't even take those people seriously. You know, it's all about, you know, it's all about staying with something when it's bad. And that's actually a big part of the fun, in a way. It really is to me. And like, well, you talked about the distance from the stadium. That's interesting because, like, that's a big part of, you know, how I grew up as a fan, right? I didn't go to Raider games. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to a lot of Dodger games. I didn't go to a lot of anything, right? And maybe that is the reason why the moving thing with the Raiders didn't have any impact on how I looked at it, because I didn't have the same experience that those guys had growing
up. That's a good point.
And I don't know. Maybe that's it. Like, I don't think I could ever get to their position and how they handled it. But, you know,
I mean, that's a factor for you compared to them. But if you look at the entire Raiders fan base, like, what I said applies easily to them, all of them. It's like they stayed fans of the team. That's That's why when the Raiders played the Chargers, we would get overrun with fucking Raider fans.
I know.
From L.A. Yeah, I know. You know, from L.A. Not from Oakland. They didn't travel from Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Raiders were never going to be in the Rams stadium, right? It was never going to happen because...
Well, it wasn't going to happen because Thanos is not going to turn that down.
Right, but that's the deal, that $1 deal came up at the end. I mean, there's a whole long form, right? And it came up at the very end because, you know, at the end of the day, the Raiders were gonna like reload in a way, off of that new stadium, and you know, who that
right. Yeah, and they would actually be the more popular team than the Rams, probably.
Absolutely, they would have been.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. So because it's not like the Rams are crushing it with popularity either. I mean, they're doing, of course, way better than the Chargers, who. No one even likes them in LA. It's like there's more people that dislike the Chargers in LA than like them. I mean, all the Raiders fans we just talked about fucking hate the Chargers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just start with that. It's like, and why would they do that?
Not only did the Chargers, you know, mishandle badly the move away from San Diego, they also mishandled badly the move to LA.
They absolutely did.
Right? I'm sure.
And it's just like straight incompetence in a lot of ways, right? And but at the end of the day, L.A. is still a terrible football town. It is. It will always be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason the NFL wasn't there before. Yeah. Like, why would you go from that to, oh, here are two teams, and one of them you don't even want there? Like,
And I think what it really comes down to – stupid. I think what it really comes down to is that attendance isn't that big a factor in things.
Mm. You know? That's what I said. And also, I think attendance – but you have to look at – if there are home fans, like the Chargers, like might have like a lot less home fans, right? Of course, next year. But the fact that they're selling all these tickets, they don't give a fuck if they're home fans or away fans. You know? That's and there's all that revenue sharing of tickets anyway, and TV revenue. Like the NFL is this big club, you know.
Yeah.
And I was saying that it sucks to say that, but like all this idea of like. The Chargers are going to fail because they don't have fans in LA.
No,
I just don't think that's a real thing.
No.
Like, the numbers to me don't say that.
Absolutely not. Like, if you know,
it sucks to say that, but it's
funny to me that the owners in the NFL get uppity about, you know, capitalism from time to time, right? And you know, if you want to, take a look at a straight communist system, that's it. I mean,
it's true.
I mean, and it's like, well,
it's true.
They have special protections that no other industry has.
That's why everyone wants an NFL team. It's like fucking cash cow. You just need the whole pie to be big, and you're gonna make money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can make extra money depending on like how good you are. Like if you're, and like how good of a business you are, quote unquote, like the Cowboys and shit. Like, yeah, you can make a lot more than that. But the baseline of what you're gonna get.
You will make a lot of money.
Solid. Like the baseline is solid. And that's the problem. That's why I'm afraid that even if the Chargers can't, you know, even if the Chargers have not a lot of home fans in LA, that's not going to force them to move back. I wish it would. Like, I want that to be true, but I just don't see it. I just don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to switch it up here. We're going to switch it up here for a second. So,
sure.
So, Buck. tell me a player on the player on the Raiders that you're most excited about for this season.
Are you talking about fantasy?
No, I'm talking about football. Regular football.
Waller.
All right, Waller. Nice. You think Waller's just gonna fucking be that guy?
Although
that takes your team?
He's been absent from practice the whole week, so I don't know what's going on with him. But yeah, it's always Waller for me.
Yeah. Always Waller.
Dude, how do you not love that guy?
I love
him. He's incredible. You know?
Yeah. And his story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right?
To go from like drug addict NFL reject to fucking superstar. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and like there's stuff that he does in the background that is. I mean, he's always gonna be Waller for him. Unless he's now relapsed and he's done. That's kind of the thing. Right? That could happen.
Of course, that could happen. Yeah,
and you know, but I mean, yeah, I like Jacobs a lot as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much? What do you think the timeshare is going to be? between Jacob.
I knew Max was going to ask Drake. That question.
I got to try to get a little bit of fantasy, you know, insight from a specialist in the Raiders.
Yeah, I think given the state of the receiver core on the Raiders, I don't think it's going to be that big of a change for Jacobs. You know,
interesting.
I think he'll still get the carries that he gets, and I think Drake will be in there a lot. You know, at the same time, you know, different ways.
They paid him a lot of money. That was surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
of course, with that GM, it's not that surprising, I guess.
But yeah. Did you like the move? Were you pumped that they added Kenyon Drake at that price?
I would have been if they didn't trade Hudson.
Mm.
I thought that I'm very perplexed by that decision. I got the other two linemen.
Oh, because you're saying the Hudson trade was made because of money, and then they signed Drake?
Well, I don't
know. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know why they did Hudson. But if they had Hudson still, I'd be a lot more excited about Drake.
Yeah.
Did your O-line get better from season to season or worse?
No. No, I mean, the problem they had was a lot of those guys were just hurt, you know? So
yeah.
They're all, I can relate. They're all very good, but they weren't playing all that much, right? So
yep.
Hudson, not that, but Trent Brown certainly, and Andre Jackson you just got worse. Like, he was good, and then he just got worse. Like, so it's like, get Jackson and Brown, but the Hudson trade really, really confuses me, because I would say he's best center in the league, and if he's not best, he's top three, right? And
right behind Corey Lindsay.
That position
is so important, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're going to bring in young guys to fill the other spots. I'm very confused by that.
Center, I think, is undervalued in the NFL, because it is like seen as an interior blocker, so they don't get as much money as the tackles, which I think that makes sense. But at the same time, I do think the center position is undervalued. I just remember when the Chargers lost Nick Hardwick. And we had a good O-line. We actually had like a sneaky good O-line the year before. I think that was the year that we made the playoffs and like lost to the Broncos after beating the Bengals when I was in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. And and we lost Nick Hardwick. And all of a sudden the next year, like, our O-line was trash. It was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, it was a huge impact.
Yeah. And I mean, you know how this stuff works, right? I mean, the O-line is a team within the team. And
exactly.
The center is the quarterback of that team, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The
leader is.
And again, but you also have to have the chemistry for it to work. No matter how good each individual is, they have to flow. They have to work together. And that's hard to do. That's hard to build.
I agree. And
so the Raiders, that's the big risk on the offense, is that. You know, they got three new guys, right? So who knows? You know,
I was gonna say that regarding the Chargers, I'm very optimistic about the Chargers. Like, I love what they did this offseason, but that is one element that gives me pause. Is there's so much new shit, and especially on the O line, like you said, Buck. I was listening to a podcast about, I think it was PFF or something, and they were talking about how they were talking about this study about new offensive linemen, and kind of like, no matter how good they were, the fact that they were new meant that there was like a negative for the O-line.
You can do stats on that and say it's going to be a lot, you know, pretty significant.
Yeah, and like maybe that they were really good, so that of course like offset that negative, but every time there was like a new position there, it was a small like negative. And the Chargers have four new starters on the O-line. So
reports out of camp today in 11-on-11s, the O-line kind of got their asses handed to them.
Exactly. They're not, the defense is way ahead of the offense right now in Chargers
I mean you never know how it is. I would also say that I'd rather have Herbert with that dynamic than Carr.
And I'd also say I'd rather have these four new guys than the line we had last year.
Like, absolute trash. Literally the worst line in the league. Yeah.
Exactly. So
hard not to go anywhere but up when you're starting.
Yeah, when I'm saying that, like, the fact that they're new is a negative, it doesn't mean it's an absolute negative. It means that it should be factored in, is all I'm saying, as a negative.
It can easily still be a net positive.
Of course, it should be. There, we have good talent. I really believe in that rookie we got, Rashawn Slater. That guy is – he's good. He's just going to be good, and he'll be good, like, really fast. And I'm stoked we got him. There, that was an absolute steal.
So on that note, other reports out of camp, in the one-on-one drills with Rashawn Slater, he's dominated. He hasn't lost
a
yet. So he's beaten Joey Bosa. He's beaten Chenna Nwosu. Like Slater, the reports out of camp,
beating Bosa
looks like the real.
Well,
deal.
Not the, he held his own against Bosa.
Like Bosa, you know, Bosa didn't win the rep. You know,
And then Bosa did beat him like later, and but the bottom line is like he held his own against Bosa.
Pretty amazing.
In one of his first practices, like the guy came in as like a technician, and I love like rookies that come in with strong technique and win with technique already. They're good like quickly. That's
hard to find.
It's hard to find.
God damn.
That's why a lot of GMs. I heard someone talking about interviewing GMs after the draft, and a bunch of them had Slater actually as their number one tackle in the draft, and that was after the draft. Like they were, had nothing, you know, to gain by or lose by saying it. They were like, "Yeah, for us, he was our top tackle on the board." They didn't, you know, they didn't need a tackle. I'm just saying. So I'm excited about Slater and fucking, you know, the corner we got. Fucking what's his name? Asante.
Yeah,
Asante Jr.
Yeah.
He's also going to be pro ready, I think.
He's also had some good reports out of camp. Yeah. But I don't want to dominate this with Chargers talk. I'm curious,
great.
Buck.
It's always great to get good reports out of camp, by the way. You know, like that is like
that always means the world, right? Actually, you don't need to play well in the regular season as long as you're doing well in camp. Buck, who finishes higher in the division, Raiders or Chargers?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's a tough one. I think I would have to give a slight edge to the Chargers only because of the schedule differences, actually.
Interesting.
Because of the what?
They have a bit of a different schedule.
Really? Our schedule looks pretty tough to me when I looked at it the other day.
The Raiders one is tougher.
Really?
It is. Yeah.
How's that? How's that possible? Well, it's because you finished higher than us last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's like a lot. It's not like
who's your 17th game against that random game?
I don't even know.
Ours is against the Vikings, and I think they're going to be good next year.
But yeah, no, I think we all get the North, right? I don't have it in front of me, but I don't. I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, I think the Raiders had an average defense. They would be pretty damn good, actually. And I don't think they have that yet. So,
it's
going to be a shootout, you know, with that.
With Gus Bradley, like we talked about in the last podcast with the Raiders and Gus Bradley, what you wanted was somebody that just that has a defense that doesn't get burned, you know, and that is what Gus Bradley's defense is all about. So I think you might like the change there at defensive coordinator. And his defense is like, you know, he's good at coaching that defense. And it's not super complicated. Like players can learn it and new players can learn it pretty quickly and shit like that. So he has had, to his credit, like he has had good, really good performances against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and like keeping him under control. Chargers still didn't win the game because you couldn't fucking
came real close.
Yeah, came real Classic. Close a lot a lot of close, but
all right, real talk, is the AFC West the toughest division in the NFL?
I don't think so. I think that go ahead.
I was trying to think about which one actually is though.
Maybe the NFC West. I mean, they're the most balanced.
I think it
division.
Should be. I think the NFC West should be.
They don't have like a top team though.
I think if Teddy Bridgewater is good, AFC West is the most. toughest division in the league.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, do you think about that? I mean, we've already talked about
it. You're saying Bridgewater's going to start right away.
I think so. I think he starts. Okay. I just didn't see it.
Really, Drew Locke, you're wrong, because I want to see Drew Locke play as many games as
possible. Totally, dude. Obviously, his enemies of the Broncos.
I love watching him play.
I love watching Locke, dude. He's a big fan. Big fan.
My favorite guy. My favorite. Man, I loved it. Yeah.
I think that, I mean, but look at the NFC West. You have Seattle with Russell Wilson. You have the Rams now with Stafford and their whole their system, their defense. The 49ers, extremely well coached. Great defense. They had a wacky year last year, and now they drafted that fucking psycho Trey Lance, who's, you know, who knows what that guy can do. Maybe towards the end of this year or next year, we'll see. But then you have the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and their air raid. It's a strong division. There's no weak team there. And I know that there's no Chiefs, but there's some good teams.
I can't disagree with any of your points. That is a good alternative.
The Niners are the wild card.
Because for the NFC West, I think the Broncos, it all comes down to the Broncos and how good they are, to Max's point.
It comes down to all three teams except for the Chiefs, man. I mean, it's like all three of our teams, would anyone be shocked if any of them were really good or really bad, right? Like,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's all within the range of outcomes. Like, every year I think the Chargers are going to be good, and then they're not as good as I think they're going to be. And I'm like, no, but this year, for real, it's different. Brandon Staley,
it's going to be the savior of the Chargers in the new era. Without James or Jamie to deal with, you know, it's a clean slate.
Sorry, Buck, you're going to say something. We'll cut you off.
I think people would be very shocked that the Raiders were good, right? I mean, that kind of comes down to, you know, the perception of the Raiders overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this goes back to the fandom thing, right? Because the Raiders get shit on so much, it actually helps the image with the fans in a way. That makes sense, right? I think the Raider fans enjoy, you know, being a part of someone underdog that gets shit on all the time, right? And, you know, look, the Raiders have not been good for a long time. They had one wacky season, right? But people are talking about the Raiders like they're just awful. It's like, well, they were 8-8 last year, and you know, shit, they could have been 11-5 with a few plays. That said, they could have been 5-11 with a few plays as well. So, I mean, I don't think people would be expecting the Raiders to be in the playoffs or be good, right?
That's true.
Because their defense and their O-line, and people are undervaluing Derek Carr's potential.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the O line and the defense are real concerns if I was a Raiders fan.
The car thing is interesting, right? Because I don't like it. Like, I don't, right? I just don't for a variety of reasons. For a variety of reasons, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, the way people they criticize him is also just like really
way too
in
much.
A lot of ways.
Yeah,
it's way too much. People say that he has a bad arm.
Right.
Well, that's just wrong.
He's a very accurate passer down the field.
Like, yeah, that's actually what he brings.
That's his strength. Yeah.
people say that he's kind of a pussy. And like, I would say he is only in the respect of fumbling the ball, not in the respect of taking shots on the field, because people just don't seem to understand. Like, the Raiders have had bad receivers for a few years.
Yeah.
So if nobody, you know, why would you throw the ball downfield if nobody's open downfield?
Yeah, and it's also the coaching and like what they want him to do. Yeah,
so I mean, I think, you know, with Carr, you know, the way I look at him is he's not going to lose you a game, right? But is he going to be the guy who's going to win you a game? Probably not either.
So he's like a Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I think he's better than
Garoppolo. I think he's better than Garoppolo at throwing down the field.
What if we throw a few QBs at you and you tell me whether you'd rather have Carr or said QB? Hoff, we're going to alternate. So I want Garoppolo. Oh. Throw QB out for Buck.
Kirk Cousins.
It's a good one.
Carr.
You go Carr. Okay.
Really? Okay. Kirk Cousins is not that bad.
Stafford or Carr?
Stafford.
Stafford's.
I base a lot of this on the rosters they've been a part of as well, right? I mean, the Lions were shit.
Yeah, exactly. Really. That you got to separate them from that situation or try to.
So you know, I'd better base it on that. Not
like Jared Goff. What do you think about Goff?
Carr.
Yeah, I agree. Goff is over. He's been a product of that system. Like when he was on the Rams and things were going well and they were running the ball down everyone's throats and they had that play action, his pocket was perfect. Like he would deliver some nice passes, but
Carson Wentz or Carr?
Carr, because Wentz is just always hurt. I mean, if the guy could stay upright.
And he only had one good year too, which was
was it one year?
It's like a year and a half. Because he had another season where he was playing well, but then he got hurt. Yeah. That was the year that Foles came in and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Foles took over towards the end of the season.
And he was playing pretty well.
He had been playing well. Yeah. He was playing well. All right, the last one, but Justin Herbert or Derek Carr?
Oh, fuck you. I knew that was coming.
I actually didn't expect it, but I liked it.
How do you not expect that?
Buck knows me too.
I don't know. I was trying to think of other quarterbacks, and Max threw out Justin Herbert.
You know, what can I say? Herbert, I have to.
Yeah, it's good. You're more objective than some people on our fantasy football podcast.
Like I've said over since I saw the guy play all year, I hate him. I hate him a lot. I was very upset. The first game he played, I was very, very upset. I'm like, Jesus, you're fucking Christ. Now I got to watch this. I was blown away. I'm so confused by it. I don't get it. Like, there's plenty of guys who have prototypical size and speed and all that shit, right? But the way that I think I talked to you about this, Hoff, but the way the team was responding to him right away was it was like they knew he had it right. I mean, they saw it in practice.
It's true.
Right away, they knew it. You could tell they were responding to him.
That's why they fucking stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the chest, dude.
Oh my god! Right. Well, like, think about that. That's why it was so shocking to me, because like you're on the bench, right? And then like 10 minutes before game time, they're reeling out Tyrod Taylor, who's about to die.
It's like, oh, like,
here you go. Here's the ball. Get it. Right? And then he did what he did.
You're in.
And then he did what he did. It's like, what? Like, how? Are you kidding? Yeah. Like, that was amazing. It was. I mean, it's just like,
it's.
I don't know if they won that game, but like.
We didn't. I mean,
it was unbelievable.
But we should have won, of course. But like, yeah, it's been fun, like, listening to certain people and podcasts and things like that that have been rehashing the draft, the perception of Herbert going in the draft versus what happened. And there was, you know, there's been like a lot of people pointing out like how scouts had him as the number one overall pick the year before he like went back to Oregon for God knows what reason. And then I remember listening to a Dolphins scout before the draft, and he was a prior Dolphins scout, and he was talking about Herbert. He's like, I just don't fucking get like what is wrong with Herbert. Like, there's all this people like talking about what's wrong with Herbert, and a lot of it was like what you hinted at, his leadership skills, like, and lack of being vocal, this vocal leader.
Yeah, that's some nonsense.
Yeah, and he's like, that doesn't make sense to me. And he's like, to me, I look at Herbert and I see like the perfect quarterback prospect. He's like, he's big, he's athletic, he's fast, he has a fucking cannon, He's accurate with his arm, and he's smart. You know, he works hard. Like, yeah. What is the problem here? Like,
yeah. I mean, when I saw them draft him, I was thrilled. You know,
yeah. I mean, I was happy.
I was disappointed, pessimistic. Because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I was extremely pessimistic. Yeah. I was like, well, I hope we like can fucking get super lucky and have this work out somehow. Like,
yeah.
I was totally like, I did not want them to draft him that high, you know, because of all the commentary.
Yeah, to me, it was about how he played that last year of college, right? Like, he was terrible. He was.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And like, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know anything.
I heard a lot of people talking about how Oregon's offense was running this horizontal based offense with shitty players, and like that completely mismatch between what he does well
horizontal with
that mismatch between what he does well and like what the offense was trying to do, and it was like his third or fourth different offense at Oregon, you know. So
yeah,
that is something that does give me pause about the Chargers this year. Again, the last thing I'll say about the Chargers, but the four new O-line, which is good, but it's also like, all right, they're brand new. Yeah. And then the new offensive coordinator, new offensive system, like that could take time to gel. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Boys, yeah. I gotta hop to dinner. I'm going to leave you with one bold prediction for the season.
Yeah.
This is NFL wise. I don't have a bold fantasy prediction.
Yeah.
Because saying that I'm going to win is not bold. That's just sort of a bold conclusion. My bold prediction for the season: Tyrod Taylor balls out for the Texans, beats the Colts twice. I'm fully vindicated for my belief in Tyrod
Taylor. Oh, and we're going to shit all over those fools. For Tyrod. Right,
it's been a great podcast for me. I will leave you now, but it's fucking great. Yep. Catch you guys later.
Have a good night. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can end it there. That's a good length, and it's manageable. And that was fun, Buck.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing it.
Do you know how to like ship it to a thing where you can send it out?
Yeah. I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. All right.
Do you just like send? Don't you just send it via text message?
Like, I think so. You know, the other ones I've been on it, they throw it in Spotify, actually. But, you know, if you can just send it that way, you know, let's just do that, see if it works.
You can throw it onto Spotify?
Yeah, you can. But, you know, if you can do that, I think that works.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
All right.
Later.